We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So we have started a series called Refresh, and it's our aim through this series that we would encounter some ideas and some things that will refresh us as we head into 2020. 2 weeks ago, Warren looked at the area of rest and how we need to wait on God, and we need to stop and reflect and wait on Him. Last week, we saw the importance of having a theology of fun, finding joy in this great world that God has given us. And our aim through this series is that we want to see you refreshed, that you would head into 2020 with a new sense of life. See, refreshed means to restore strength and vigor, to replenish energy when exhausted, to renew your supply when empty, and to refocus. We all need that sometimes. Sometimes like an internet page that gets refreshed. And ultimately, this is found in God. There's a great passage in Isaiah 40, which says from verse 29, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Our strength is found in Him. Amen? Our strength is found when we connect ourselves to the Creator of life, to our Maker, God. But there are things that we need to do to find refreshment. So I want to begin this morning by doing a bit of a who am I? All right, you ready? Who am I? I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I'll be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great people and, alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a human. You may run me for a profit or run me for a ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? Abbott. Ah, very good. First one. I should have a chocolate or something to throw to you. Did anyone else, got that? Just put your hand up and say, yeah, we understood. Habits. I am habit. And that's what we are going to talk about a little bit this morning. Putting in place the right habits in our life can be one of the most refreshing things we can do. This morning, I want to do a bit of an extended introduction on this topic of habits, and then I want to focus on three that could have a big refreshment value in our lives, both to start the year and as we go through the year, all right? So we're going to talk about habits, and then we're going to have a look at three different ones that we can put into place. But this is it's January the 12th today, and this is the time of New Year's resolutions, right? Everyone comes up at the start of the year, and there's this thing that says, okay, a new start. What are some things that I want to do? I want to lose weight. I want to get closer to God. I want to prioritize my marriage. And we have these New Year's resolutions. But the special thing about January 12th is that the studies have shown that this is the day when the New Year's resolutions drop off. When people who started so meaningfully on January the 1st, they can maintain it for 12 days, but they can't for more than that. So here's what the experts say. Don't make resolutions. Instead, put into your life habits. Begin to do things, little things, small things, that will make a big difference in your world. Did you know that living the Christian life can be as automatic as brushing your teeth? How often do you forget about brushing your teeth? Hopefully, you don't forget about brushing your teeth. I'm happy to report that I don't. I brush my teeth twice a day. What an amazing person I am. But it's not because I have a to-do list or because I'm reminded. It's just become automatic for me. Habits are those things that you do over and over until they become automatic. They become your default mode. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you had a default mode, what are the things that you would do? See, some of us have habits of action. Examples include having a shower in the morning, telling your family that you love them, tying your shoelaces, the way that you sit on a chair, exercise, maybe even certain phrases that you say. You're famous for saying that particular phrase. It's a habit of action. When I worked in a greenhouse, we used to drive around the property on occasion, and as I jumped into the ute, I would automatically put my seatbelt on. And that's not a bad idea. In fact, there's been a lot of farm incidents recently that show that seatbelts, even around the farm, are a great idea. But it's not legal or even necessary when you're only driving about 30 meters. And my workmates would look at me like, "What? Do you not trust my driving? Do you think I'm that bad that we're going to drive 30 meters and we're going to have a massive accident?" And I'd say, "Oh, sorry, man. It's automatic. It's a habit. It's a very good habit, and it's a habit that I get into a car and I put my seatbelt on, even off-road." And we also have habits of attitude, how we think of poor people, how we think of other ethnicities, our attitude to work, our attitude to spending time with our family, the way that we approach difficulty. Now, I have a bad attitude about certain foods. At Christmas time, I wrote a devotional about Brussels sprouts, in which I called them little green balls of evil and small cabbages that taste a lot like vomit, and I retract none of it. Since that time, I have had a number of people approach me and tell me that Brussels sprouts are actually nice if you just cook them right. A little bit of olive oil, put some bacon on sprouts. That's how you achieve goodness there. But I just had this bad attitude towards certain foods. I've developed a habit, a way of thinking, and of only thinking of them as the devil's vegetable. It's just a habit of attitude that I have developed. And a big part of refreshing is challenging habits of attitude and action. So have a think about your habits, your default mode, your automatic things. Which of them are refreshing for you? Which of them are not? If they're taking life from you, you need to do the hard work of changing or removing them. Because challenging habits is hard work. But after we work hard for a while, it becomes easier and easier, and these actions are as simple as brushing your teeth. Joshua Taylor, who is one of the pastors at South City C3, and inexplicably a lover of Brussels sprouts, that's a real divide in our relationship. He has actually written a book on habits. You can buy it on Amazon. It's a little Kindle book. And in it, he talks about how habits are formed. He says, as we repeat a pattern of behavior, our brain actually begins to create familiar pathways of connected neurons that help to reduce the workload on our brain when dealing with something we have to do a lot. When we do an action over and over, we change our brain. See, I always like to look at it this way. It's like we're traveling through a jungle and we have a machete with us. As we go on a new path, a new decision is made, we blaze a trail. And when we come back to that same path again, the same option, do I go this way with this pathway that I've blazed or a different way? It's easier for us to go the way that we've already gone before. And the more we go, the more automatic it will be to go that way, to the point where we would, in our own decision-making, get to that point and it won't even feel like a decision. We'll just go the way that seems to be easy for us. And creating habits is a powerful thing to do. So I want to encourage you to create really great habits in your life and challenge the ones that aren't so great. And this morning, let's have a look at three disciplines that have the ability to refresh you. On top of traditional Bible reading and prayer, which I think are essential for everybody, these can be very helpful habits. So I want you to have a listen to these and see if you can pick one of these things or pick three of them if you want and see how they can make a difference in your life. They're all very individual disciplines. Next week, Warren is going to spend some time talking about how we can relate well to others as a way of refreshing ourselves. But today we're going to go a bit more internal. The first habit is being aware of God's presence. Being aware of God's presence. See, we need to know God more and make it a habit of becoming aware that God is with us. Scripture encourages us over and over again to do this. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I'll refresh you. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The psalmist says it too, Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him?" We should long to be in God's presence. Yet we often neglect him. Our days get busy and our to-do list is long, and we are overwhelmed that consciously entering God's presence is too difficult. We're overwhelmed by the things of our life. I've noticed for myself that I tend to focus on practices of action rather than habits of attitude. And this is a real habit of attitude. I more easily follow God by doing something rather than just being in God's presence. Now, there is a strength in activity, but it must come from a place from keeping company with him. I must ensure that I do not work to do great things for God without first spending time in his presence. Often this leads itself to silent exercises where the things of this world are put aside and complete focus is put on God. However, it doesn't always need to be that way. If we have an attitude of being in God's presence, if we create that as a habit, we can see that his presence is near us at all times. Jesus said that he gave us his Holy Spirit, who is always at home in us. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home with each of them." The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is at home in our hearts constantly. God is with you at all times. He's with you when you're working. God is with you when you're having fun. God is with you in the daytime and in the night hours. We just need to become more aware of his presence. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, "You may ignore, but you can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito." See, Brother Lawrence, I'm not sure if you know of Brother Lawrence, he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. He was a 17th century monk, and he maintained that the greatest joy you can have in life is a continued conversation with God. And as he worked, and as he did his monkly duties, he would constantly try and bring an awareness of God. And there were times when he was just surrounded by a sense of joy because he knew he was in God's presence. He says this, "He does not ask much of us, merely a thought of him from time to time, a little act of adoration, sometimes to ask for his grace, sometimes to offer him your sufferings, at other times to thank him for the graces past and present he has bestowed on you in the midst of your troubles, to take solace in him as often as you can. Lift up your heart to him during your meals and in company. The least little remembrance will always be the most pleasing to him. One need not cry very loudly. He is nearer to us than we think. He is nearer to us than we think." And as we go about our lives and we develop this habit of staying close to God, of being aware of him, it has a profound impact upon our life and our days. So here's the habit. I'm encouraging you to find a rhythm to acknowledge the presence of God. It could be the hour beep on your phone, the end of a task. It could be every interruption, every time you make yourself a drink. Simply stop and say, I am here, God, and you are too. I am here, God, and you are too. And become more aware of his presence. Have a continual conversation with God. Make that a habit this year. The second habit is the attitude of gratitude, deep gratitude. To take the time every day to reflect on what has happened in your day and all that has been good. Because some days are hard, right? We have consuming difficulties and unacknowledged feelings that are pressing down on us. It might seem that everything in our world is pain and difficulty, but one of the best habits that will refresh us and free us is the habit of gratitude. There is a great power in stepping back from life circumstances and seeing not just what is wrong, but what is right, and being thankful for it. See, we believe in the goodness of God in every circumstance, don't we? Yeah? We believe that in all things that God is still good. We're even going to sing about that goodness soon, that he is the one who allows us to not be afraid. He is the one who makes a way when we cannot see a way. As we become more aware then of the good things that are around us, it changes our attitude to the things in our life. When I was younger, I did one of those jobs that a lot of people do, but no one really enjoys. I worked for a supermarket. It was a new world that turned into a pack and save, and I worked there for over 4 years, which is, you know, that's hard grind right there, 4 years. Well, this was a place where you get looked down on a lot. I worked there with my twin brother, and so my boss didn't use either of our names. He just called us twin. Twin do this, twin do that. He was really surprised one day when he found out we actually were twins. Apparently, he just thought we were two people who looked alike. He didn't even think we were brothers. He just used the name twin because he found it demeaning and quite funny. And so, as you can imagine, I didn't really enjoy this job, and I had a habit of complaining about it. It was work, it was meaningless, and it wasn't any good. Then I heard someone talk about the power of gratitude. They said that if you develop the habit of being thankful for the things that happen in your day, then you will be able to see much more goodness in your day. And I read a verse in the Bible which says, give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I thought, oh, I'm going to try it. I made it an intentional habit every time I worked at Pack and Save. As I walked home, I would walk down a long alleyway before I got to my home street. Between the main street and where I lived on a cul-de-sac, there was an alleyway, and I walked down it. And I made it a habit that as I walked down there, I would find something from the day, something from my time at work that I could be thankful to God for every single time. And I found that my work didn't change one little bit, but my perception of it did. I would walk down the alleyway, which I called the Tunnel of Thanksgiving. I was a really cool young person, amazingly popular. I would walk down there, and I would find those things which I was grateful for. And it would be like it was actually good. I would walk in the store, and I would still have thankfulness in my heart from the little moment of gratitude. It was a powerful, powerful thing. Thankfulness began to be more natural in all of my life. Thankfulness led to a greater contentment in my life and a greater focus on what God was doing and even a greater awareness of God's presence. Proverbs 15, verses 15 to 16 says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. And just stay on that verse for a second, because doesn't that seem a little bit unfair? Well, of course, if your days are trouble, you're going to be despondent. But it doesn't say because someone has trouble, they're despondent. It says because someone is despondent, they have trouble. But if the heart is happy, then life is a continual feast. Verse 16, better to have little with fear for the Lord than to have a great treasure and inner turmoil. See, it's our attitude that makes a difference. And here's the habit. It's to find a time, to find a point. Maybe it's while you're driving home. Maybe it's when you wake in the morning. To find that moment, to create a habit, a time for gratitude. To be thankful for what is good in your life. Make a habit of that and watch it refresh you. That's habit number one, being aware of God's presence. Habit number two, gratitude. Habit number three is a combination of the first two. It is bringing our gratitude into God's presence and expressing our dependence upon Him. The third habit is worship. Worship is seen in the songs we sing, but that's not all that worship is. Worship is so much more. Worship is our entire life brought before Him. And we love singing songs. Singing songs is great because we get to do something together where we lift up the name of God. And we love the opportunity to express that in any way that we can. But it's so much more than that. Worship is about saying, I'm not only thankful, but I'm thankful to someone. I'm thankful to God for all that's in my life. And more than that, I acknowledge who God is in my life. On Sunday nights at the moment, we're doing a series on the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is this marvelous framework that gives structure to our prayer. It includes worship. You know, our Father in heaven, honored is your name. It includes submission. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It also includes the opportunity to ask God for the things in our life. Give us today our daily bread. Our problem with the Lord's Prayer, though, is that we often tend to do it backwards. And then when we do, we only really get about halfway. We say, God, give me today my daily bread. Help me. Bless me. Make this happen well for me. Make my life good and successful. And then if we have time, we might say, your kingdom come. Oh, yeah, God, by the way, I do want to do life your way. Yes, that's true too. But then we don't often even get around to declaring and honoring God for who He is. Yet every day should have a moment of acknowledgement of the greatness of God, of what He has done on the cross. He has changed us and He has renewed us. And the difference is, if we stay focused, if we do it backwards, then we stay focused on ourselves. Yet if we begin with God and we worship Him, it lifts us out of our everyday focus. It lifts our eyes. As we praise the name of God, we lift up His whole being, His entirety, who He is. We say His name with reverence and holy fear. It then changes our concerns. We come to give us today our daily bread, and all of a sudden, those things don't seem so pressing anymore. Because we worship and we believe in a God who is bigger than any of our circumstances, who is better than any of our difficulties. We should start with worship. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by harm. See, when we worship, it refreshes us. It brings us life, and we are able to rest. When we have a healthy respect and awe of who God is, it changes us. True worship is about more than what we do with our lips. It's about an attitude of reverence and taking the time to proclaim God's goodness. And to do this, sometimes we like to sing, but we don't always need music. Often, this is best done in silence. Now, I've already told you that I dislike an activity. I prefer to do stuff. I don't like sitting around and nothing happening. And it's the same for me with silence. I don't like silence. I'm the sort of person who listens to music while I work. I listen to an audiobook while I'm driving and a podcast while I'm making tea. If it didn't bother my wife, I'd probably listen to music as I went to sleep as well, but that would never work. But silence, I recognize, is a great gift that we are able to have. I was sharing this last Sunday night. I was encouraging our Sunday night congregation to spend some time in silence, just shutting out the things of the world. And I acknowledged that this wasn't my best thing, my favorite thing to do. And someone came to me afterwards, and they said, I've got the perfect thing for you. They said, well, I'm involved with our friends in the Anglican Network, and they do these things several times a year where they have silent weekends. Silent weekends where you have, not only do you not say anything to anybody, but you can't listen to music. You hand your phone in. You don't have anything. It's just silence for the entire weekend. And apparently they have these ones where you can't even communicate with anyone else via sign language or anything. You just have to ignore everybody else for a whole weekend. I can think of nothing worse than that. It's not my idea of a good time. But I do recognize that sometimes we need to shut out the things of this world. And maybe you're like me, and silence is not your thing. But can I encourage you, as I've been encouraging myself and practicing a little bit this week, taking some time, even 5 minutes, in silence, and beginning by bringing my heart in reverent fear before God and saying, God, you're awesome. You are so amazing. Let me consider the wonders of your way of life. It makes a profound difference to your attitude to the day, to your attitude to life. So, these are the three habits. Practice God's presence, being aware of God's presence. Take a moment for gratitude and worship. And as we practice these habits, or even all three, we may experience what Tom Wright talks about. He says this, at its highest, prayer merges into love. As the presence of God becomes so real that we pass beyond words and into a sense of his reality, generosity, delight, and grace. Wouldn't that refresh you? To be in his presence and experience the goodness of God poured out to us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.